Fish, welcome back to the Bad Hombre Podcast. Great to have you back.
Glad to be back. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, hopefully this one actually loads, because last one, it did not load. It was just practice, man. The world did not get to experience the pleasure that it was for us discussing Jake Plummer.
I know, sad. And so he got sad. mentioned in the chat like a couple days later.
Yeah, he did. He did. Jake Plummer. I always remember, you know, just so for people not to get too down when they make mistakes, just remember the great Bill Walsh, one of the greatest coaches ever in the Hall of Fame. He once called Jake Plummer the next Joe Montana. So no one hits 100.
I mean, he had some skills. I think he's just one of those QBs that got a bad situation.
Yeah, that didn't help. Okay, if you want to take it further, he called Jim Druckenmiller the next Jim Kelly. How about that?
Yeah, that one was bad.
Yeah, and it was funny. I forgot how I got in the chat, right? How it started. I think up with that Pulido guy. He was showing off his sports cards collection. So it was a lot of players from the 90s, and it got me thinking. Like, I remember J.J. Stokes with this big stud wide receiver in UCLA, top 10 pick, and Bill Walsh was about to retire from being a GM. And he makes this big, huge trade up to get the guy that's going to replace the great Jerry Rice, the next Niners great wide receiver, and he moves up, trades a bunch of picks for J.J. Stokes, who completely stinks. But the guy that turns out to be a Hall of Fame type receiver is a third-round pick from a school I never heard of. You heard of him? Yep. Maybe Terrell Owens.
Yes, dude. I remember. That was like one of my best. That's when I followed the team the most. Like,
Younger.
Like that's the generation I watched the most. Like the end of Steve Young. I got to watch the very, very end of the I don't even think I got to see Montana play maybe more than one season
With the Niners.
And then I really came in with the Steve Young generation versus, like, the Troy Aikman. And
on the Cavs. All those are great games.
Yeah, those are great. That's what I remember football, but
Hey, you got a Hall of Fame receiver. Who cares how you get it?
No, I mean, Teal just talks a lot of smack, so he's, like, hated, but,
if you look at his numbers,
yeah, he was a good receiver. He's like the receivers that can affect the game, like the few, like Julio or Calvin, you know, like, I know the debate. I always say Rice is the best quarterback, a receiver, but it's different. Like,
the best numbers, definitely. Most accomplished.
Like, most consistent. Like, he's just not that type of receiver. Like, he's, like, less physical, but more. But he got his hella catches and touchdowns and everything. He's just a different type.
Rice was great. Rice was great.
Yeah.
But I think most people that are objective, if you put Julio Jones in the 80s against a bunch of those slow DBs, what do you think happens?
It's like Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, Johnson. Yeah, I mean. Rice dominated the era he played in. That's the only thing you could do. But I think most people know what happens. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Like, I keep saying that he's probably not more physical or like a bigger body or like, I don't know, just a difference maker. But like you said, the defense had more ability to grab and hold, and like you said, he was good in his generation, which I would say is harder to play in than now. Everything's so not watered down, but more regulated, I guess.
You know, the rules are harder now for DBs, but the DBs are a lot more athletically gifted.
Overall, the teams are faster, bigger, stronger. But they're less physical contact. I don't know.
Yeah. You know what I mean? The white cornerback is extinct. He doesn't exist anymore because he can't. No offense to the white people. You're pretty smart. But not quite athletically gifted. Some of you are smart. Not our president. But anyways, let's not get political now. Anyways, yeah, Rice is great. Calvin and Julio Jones look like they were created in a lab by a scientist.
Hey, how about the next gen? DK.
DK Metcalf. I don't think he belongs in that company. People are getting carried away, but he's had a great fantasy season.
Okay, exactly. He has to keep it up for a couple years, but
runs two routes. He's great at those routes. He'll run the car.
Okay.
And he runs the street.
Okay,
route.
Okay then. Okay. So then basically you would put him more in a category of like Moss.
Oh no, Moss was way better.
No, I know not like way better, but you know, Moss was just like more.
Yeah, he was
down, like a streak. Like he's just gonna burn everybody. And that's it, huh? He's fast as fuck.
Moss was a lot more fluid. He could run. Yeah.
And he could run more miles. Yeah, no, I'm not comparing him as far as like a complete overall receiver, but not like Julio, not like Megatron. Like they run everything. They're like complete receivers.
Yeah, that's why to me they're the two best receivers ever, because they can run every route in the book. They have good hands. And oh yeah, Julio is 6'2", 220 and runs a 4.3 40. Oh, that doesn't impress you. How about Calvin? 6'5", 240, runs a 4.3 40. That's what separates them, man. They run every single route and just.
That's what makes it unfair.
Yeah, it was unfair. It is unfair. Like it's just ridiculous. He's 6'3", 230, and he could run a 4.3.
He's fine.
So it's impressive. And speaking of, go ahead.
He just needs to develop. We'll see where his career goes.
Yeah, even if he runs these two routes, he's really. These two rounds, and he's still going to be productive, especially playing with Mr. Wilson over there.
And that's the thing. I don't think they really need him to run those other routes. That's what... Yeah, that's what Lockett's for, so...
Yeah. And speaking of Lockett, we got Pulido here. He's been talking about he's... because he's the number one seed here in the power rankings, but this week he took it on the chin a little bit, but he's already in the playoffs. He's just relaxing. He's going to see who joins him. You think Polito's got a run at him, or is he declining at the wrong time?
We don't know. It's his first season, you know. It could be. I like going into the playoffs winning. I know that. But
yeah.
I don't know. It's just fucking fantasy football, it's like every week's a different fucking game just because of the injuries.
It's like a woman's mood swings. You don't know what's next.
Yeah, you don't know what's happening. So it's like you could be your team, like this year, like my first week, I felt like, oh, finally, I'm back. I had like 140 points. Fucking everyone on my team did good. And then week two, 7 injuries and COVID. And I was like, what the fuck happened? 2020 hit my team hard week two.
Oh, Barkley. Barkley, you missed Barkley.
Yeah, I never came back.
No.
Like, he got hurt, and then Mostert's been on IR. And so
stuck with Lamar here.
Yeah, and he's not doing as good.
No.
I mean, I got him at a point where, since I had a couple extra picks, I think it was a little early, but I already had, like, 2 running backs, two receivers.
It was in the
third, somewhere in there, third, fourth.
Okay, it's not too bad.
Yeah, and I already had like 3 or 4 picks, so I was like, this is not too bad. And that's kind of been my decision. I don't know if it's a good decision, but it was kind of like, I already spent the high pick. Why am I going to try to carry a second QB? So, like, I carried one for like a week or two, but it was just like, there's no point. It's just fucking taking up space.
Yeah, take a flyer on a running back or wide receiver.
Yeah, it's like, I got Lamar. I wasted the pick. He can fucking break a 50-yard touchdown in any given fucking play. So yeah,
that's true. It's a great running back.
Yeah, you figure maybe 15 points a game with the potential of up to 30, so whatever.
Well, it's a big gap there, 15 to 30. Gap.
Yeah. But I'd rather get 15 from him than, like, I don't know, play someone I don't like.
You're going to get 15 from him than 20 from Joe Burrow. That's what you're saying.
Pretty much, yeah. Because then if Joe Burrow gets me 15, I'll be pissed.
Yeah. Because he's white, right?
No, because it's the Bengals and the ginger.
Oh, okay. What do you got against gingers?
How They got gingivitis.
Well, what about Canelo? He's a, some people consider him the best boxer pound for pound. Did he break the ginger curse?
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I saw a lot of his earlier fights. I haven't seen nothing in the last 5 years or so.
Oh, you missed his prime. He's gotten better.
Yeah. No, I've seen like his early, early stuff. So, I mean, maybe has he improved as a boxer overall?
Yeah, especially like, defensively. Yeah, but he's improved. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously his power was always there. So then, I mean, he might be, because, I mean, he looked, he fucking had the power. I mean, I honestly think, I don't like Mayweather.
That doesn't count. He's been retired too long. He's not in the discussion.
No, but he fought him, right?
Yeah, when Canelo was really young. Yeah, they fought. It was,
like, I think he did pretty good for the, I don't fucking like Mayweather, how he fights.
Yeah, it's not, like it's not very exciting. But the thing that people forget, or a lot of them don't know, that Mayweather was a very exciting fighter when he fought at 135. Then he had a, because that's where the money was at, and he, as he got to 147 and 154, which is way further than he probably should have gone in terms of his ability to fight, that's when he started fighting a lot more careful and quite boring in many people's estimation. But he was a very exciting fighter at 135, but once he moved up, he came out exactly.
Yeah, I don't think I saw much of him. Yeah, I think I didn't see much of his earlier stuff because it makes sense then why he would be so defensive. Yeah. And
he had no business fighting at that weight. That's why he was so defensive.
Because if he actually powers up, he's going to take some damage. That makes sense why Canelo was able to land a few and do some damage. Yeah, okay.
But anyways, yeah. And speaking of...
Anyways, I thought it was a fucking football fantasy podcast.
Exactly. Hey, we never know where this is going to lead to, man. Sometimes we lead to... you know, I think once we let on to Bill Cosby talking about pudding, where it didn't belong, and other times it might lead to politics. And who knows?
If you're going to take any advice, stay away from Bill Cosby's pudding.
Yeah, you don't want his pudding, man. You don't know what's in there, man. But anyway, speaking of sexual misconduct, number two, we have Julio Sofio. It's his year. And he is riding Jacobs. That Jacobs acquisition is paying off. We'll see if he's able to finish strong. Jacob up against
that was David. This week. That was David's trade?
No, that was Julio's.
No, but true David? From David?
No, for me, I had Jacobs.
Oh.
As soon as I saw my season was going nowhere, I got a round pick out of it, and Jacobs is yours. So
nice. So Julio's making some moves this year.
Julio made some moves, man. Only one person didn't get involved in a draft pick trading that's in contention. And I'm not allowed to comment on his team. I was banned from commenting on his team or anything with him. So
I think that's a lie. Because my understanding was Gilbert did not waste one of his top three picks.
He did not.
And Pulido did not waste one of his top three picks.
Oh, that's right. Pulido, I forgot about him. Yeah, because he's the new guy.
So those are the two guys that they had the opportunity to get some players, and they did not.
But Pulido was loaded. He didn't even make any acquisitions. He's a lock. If you don't believe me, just hear him talk all year. He's a lock. He's talking about he wants to get a new trophy when he wins it and stuff. He said that early in the – in the season, could he get a different trophy instead of that other trophy? Unbelievable. But he's already making plays. But hey, talk the talk and walk the walk. He is the top team in the power rankings and we're in week 11. So who am I to judge? Whatever he's doing is working. And speaking of working, Mexican Pancake. He is streaking like Will Ferrell in Old School, man. He is on a damn roll.
Fuck that, man. I would have ended up tied, I think, but I almost made that one move, and I think I would have tied that motherfucker.
But you didn't. And my advice to people facing him is a Spanish term. Salte de la vida que por ahí viene el tren. Get out of his way, people. He's on a roll. Just get the hell out of his way. Give him what he wants, because you're not stopping him. Damn roll. And speaking of roles, David, he's on a roll as well. He's on a roll as well. That's not a fat joke. Don't go there. Don't laugh at that. No. He's a great competitor who is on a roll. For a matter of speaking, he is winning in a winning role, and he just knows how to win games late in the season. He certainly digs it, led by Diggs. Diggs, big game. Any comments on David and his recent role?
Yeah, he has a good team. I always feel David makes a few extra trades. Like, he makes trades like 4 or 5 a week.
The other people turned out.
No, that's what I'm saying. I know. And it's like, I mean, you're never going to win them all, but he does get some good trades, but then he does make
He's
a
like that
trade.
Guy. And I was like, he's that guy that caught cheating, and the woman, he cheated 3-4 times. Nah, you caught him cheating 3-4 times. You don't know about all the other times he tried cheating. And same thing with David. Well, you know about the trades that got accepted. You don't even know about the 20,000 that got declined.
Yep, he's planting a lot of seeds.
Yeah, he's like planting apple seed over there. And speaking of seeds, we got Tony. I think he likes sunflower seeds. I don't know. His hawk couldn't do enough to prevail, but he's in the hunt. He's still in it, 5-5. He's right in the thick of things. You know, he's tied. Who knows what will happen? Still 2 weeks left. Any thoughts on Tony?
Like a true champ, just
staying alive, man. That's all you can do, man.
Well, you
better
can do
than I've done.
What do we got? 2 weeks
left.
Regular season. Yeah. What? Even? I mean, I was way out of it, but I mean, I think I could have had a chance if I would have beat Pancake.
Yeah, you would have been. Yeah.
I would have had a chance still, but that was what I was rooting for. Now all I got left is this matchup, I guess, against Polito. Got to go out strong, I guess.
Yeah. And speaking of strong, do anything with that. Because it's good. Number 6.
Wait. You mean strong in the first half?
Yeah.
Soft.
Actually, you know, I feel it's a very fraudulent 6-14. But hey, you know, He's 2-2 in the second half so far this year. Now, he's 7-2 and he's 6-4 somehow. So, you know, whatever he's doing, to whoever he's praying to, it's working. So, he's 6-4. So, he's right in the thick of things.
Yeah, because he beat me twice. That's why. I lost the game twice. That's the fucking
year. He's on a roll. So, 6-4. So, and 7th in points. So, hey, it's working. Whatever.
Hey. What about his
reminds me of the 2000 Ravens. Yeah. And speaking of the 2000 Ravens, you got Chuche here. He's alive and well. Well, maybe not well. Well, maybe not well, but he's alive. You know, he's 4-6. You know, he's like one game back. And if you put tiebreakers, crazier things have happened. But, you know, the Gronk is still keeping him alive. The Gronk is producing for Chuche. How about that? Who saw that coming?
No one except for
Chuche. I don't think he even saw it coming, even though he'd lie about it. But
he does like that fool. I think he's had him
a couple times. He's had him a few times, yeah. And number 8, finally you make an appearance here. Ish, what can we say? You got Pancake. And finally, Michael Thomas, the guy you spent a second and a fourth, waited 3 weeks to play him and for what to get you 2 fucking points. Ish, what are your thoughts on Michael Thomas being back?
Horrible. I mean, my whole team snuck that week. I got like 2 points at like 3 or 4 positions. So overall, it was just like a fuck fest. It didn't matter. So, I mean, it's always risky to play someone that's coming off an injury, especially multiple weeks. But I mean, most rosters are not going to have. I mean, if you're lucky enough to have someone you trust as a third or fourth option, go for it. Like you said, I spent a second round pick. I might as well start him. And then this week, he's healthier, but what happened? Drew Brees goes out. So now it's like, is he even startable with whoever the fuck's going to be throwing
the ball? You got the white Lamar Jackson back there. Taysom Hill.
No one called him that,
I stole that from Omar from the Bad Ombre League, better known as Esteban's brother. That's how he saved on my phone. He made this joke, you know, like a month ago, a while ago. He's the black he's an overhyped Taysom Hill. And I was like, a few weeks later, he kept struggling, and I saw him struggling out, and I keep texting him, like, that joke isn't going to be funny because I don't think it's going to be far off in the near time. I don't think it's that far off. Lamar's a great runner. He's getting worse.
It's early. He's getting worse. That's why I took the risk of picking him. But, I mean, you know he's going to run, so you got that base for the numbers, but I thought he looked a lot better as a passer last year, but I'm sure the defense away a lot. Got
well,
up,
it was
know?
Funny because
they got some injuries though on the O line, don't they too?
Well, or they lost their left tackle like 2 weeks ago, but he was struggling before that. But it was funny. The defense was kind of placed because they were being predictable, and then he goes on Eisen show and complaining about, we're getting too predictable on offense. The defense know the play. Why do you think they're predictable? Because you can't hit a receiver. That's why they're calling out the plays. Of course, they figured him out, and they got to adjust, and he needs to be better. But, hey, whatever. The hell with the Ravens, right? And number 9 on the power rankings, it is Eddie. It is my this season has done irreparable damage to the Eddie brand. It's a rough season. It's an embarrassment, and I'm ashamed. But it happens. So, hey, whatever. So,
hey, I'll see you in that last place, Brandon.
Yeah, man. I was rooting against you, to be quite honest with you, so I would get closer and maybe not be in last place. But I don't think I'm gonna win again this year, so it doesn't even matter.
Well, according to all the experts, I got an automatic loss this week, so I got one more chance.
Who did you play last?
I don't know. Oh, I think I play Antonio. I hope I do.
I'd rather not. You know?
Why? I have nothing to lose except beating
him.
Wait,
you want to fuck him? What do you mean?
Is he still fighting for a title? Oh, doesn't he only have... Is he still alive to make it to the playoffs? Right?
Yeah, but you told me to fuck that guy. I refuse. First of all, he's a married man. And second of all, it's not the way I roll. And third of all, I can't get involved with my commissioner. So no, I must decline that request, Ish. But, but I hope you beat him. No, actually, I hope he beats you, quite honestly. And then I win one more game and we can share the cellar.
No.
Misery loves company-ish.
True. Hey, at one point I was in last place in this league, so.
So I've never been in last place.
I've it's been a struggle just to get last place this year.
Oh man. Just
2020.
It's kind of fitting that I have this type of season in the year 2020. Ugh. So the Raiders and Chiefs this week. The Raiders are actually good. So it brings something to the rivalry. There's some Raiders hockey because they won that first game and they took a lap in the bus around the stadium like they won the Super Bowl or something. And now that's a big deal. So I'm looking forward to it. And it's on Sunday night. So.
It's a 5 o'clock game?
Football.
Oh, that'd be good. Is it in
Vegas?
Oh shit!
Vegas at night.
All you gotta do is like send some invites to like cocaine parties to the Raiders, and half the team will show up.
Oh well, I don't do cocaine anymore. But we'll see. Hopefully, the Chiefs stay off.
We'll see. I mean, no, wait. Okay, serious though. Are they doing good? Like,
yeah, they're 6-3.
I don't want to. Fuck. Okay, well, obviously they beat them, and that was impressive. So it's gonna be a good game then, as long as you know not last year Raiders don't show up and
yeah. So
you know, it's prime time. I feel like Derek Carr has that Carr gene to choke in big situations.
Derek Carr does not have a great track record in prime time games.
That's what I'm saying. So it could be a trap
game. That's not a trap game. They're ready for this. They're both ready for this. I'd be shocked. I'd be stunned if the Chiefs lose this game.
Okay, that's true because they have
okay,
to win.
Okay, first of all, yeah, it's November. That's when they started heating up last year and went on their Super Bowl run. So they lost.
But also, like, for the
division,
right?
They lost last time. And then the Raiders rubbed it in by taking a little lap. So they're going to – they have the Chiefs' full attention. If the Chiefs lose this game, maybe the Raiders are just better than them. I do not envision the Chiefs losing this game. But who cares what I think? That's why they play the damn games. If we knew what was going to happen, it'd be a lot more boring. So who the hell knows? But I'm looking forward to that. Who the Niners finish? Are you in?
It's in Vegas. Throw some bets.
Yeah.
Throw some bets.
Chiefs were 7.5-point favorites last time I checked. So who the Niners playing?
Oh, tell Hulu to put some money on that.
He doesn't want
to
bet.
I don't know.
They're on bye week. Oh, the Niners on bye, baby? Oh, man.
Yeah. That's a good time to have a bye. Too bad they're not having a good
season. At
this
point, are you looking more at the Niners at the standings or in mock drafts?
No, because I don't know how much. I haven't looked at all the divisions, but they're only like two games back, so
they're not as placed. Not that though. Bad. That's a good division.
There's an extra
playoff team this year, so maybe I'd be shocked.
Yeah, see, I don't even know. I don't know how that whole thing works. I haven't looked at that new.
Yeah, there's one extra playoff team. That's how it works.
I mean, they have to like win out the division games and then hope to win most of their other games. But like, that's what I'm saying. Maybe this bye came at the right time. Maybe they can get some.
So you sound
healthy,
like you sound like you're still hopeful this year, which is surprising.
I'm always hopeful. Like until they're like me, like my fantasy, until you're basically mathematically eliminated, you gotta still fight.
They're without Kittle, they're without Jimmy, which is might not be terrible, but you know, I mean, you're
yeah, but
running back on the depth chart at this point. But hey, I don't
maybe stab it.
I don't want to kill
eight,
your hope.
I don't know
if you're hopeful. Hey, man, but
I don't like rooting for a draft pick. I don't know. There's been some tough years, especially this year. This year was like, I don't know. You know, they made it to the Super Bowl. A lot of injuries right off the bat. Yeah. The team. I was surprised they made it to the Super Bowl. I thought they like overplayed. Like things just went right. And all the injuries, they just can't overcome it. Like,
yeah, too many.
That's like a system. Like, all the pieces in the system have to be working for you to run smoothly. And last year when they were running smoothly, they were taking teams down pretty easily. But they have so many missing pieces. It's like a fucking broke chain. Like, you can't – it's not going to work. It's not going to work. So, yeah. So, it's like I still root for my
team. Yeah, you got to root for them.
I'm not the Raiders. I don't root for, like, what high first overall pick they get every year.
Raiders, son.
What the – fuck that. That's the Raiders.
No, but the Raiders. Oh, the Browns.
And the Browns.
The Browns are a very tough team in Madden.
The only difference between the Raiders and the Browns is that the Raiders won the Super Bowl in the 70s. And
I think
the
it's
Browns
the
80s. But if not the Raiders, or whatever, but if not the Raiders would be another Browns. those teams, that franchise that's doing.
Minus those Super Bowl wins, the Raiders would be the Browns. There you have it, folks. Ish. And I think that's a beautiful thing to close on. Thank you for joining me this week, Ish, on the Bad Hombre Podcast.
Peace.